Welcome to Another Point of View, a program which seeks to provide our listeners with thoughtful, insightful commentary and opinion from a range of political perspectives on a broad array of important issues, local, regional, national, and global. I'm Michael Hauck, and I will be reading selected articles from authors expressing a more conservative or traditionalist point of view.
And I'm Amy Edelman, and I will be reading selected articles from authors expressing a more liberal or progressive point of view.
This week on Another Point of View, we look at the topic of fracking, short for hydraulic fracturing. Fracking is a method of extracting natural gas from deep underground. First, a vertical well is drilled and encased with steel or cement. Then, a horizontal well is drilled in the layer of rock that contains the natural gas. Then, a fracking fluid is pumped into the well at an extremely high pressure so that the fractures the rock in a way that allows the gas to flow through the cracks to the surface. For conservatives, fracking is the best way to extract natural gas, which is a necessary bridge fuel to get to 100% clean energy and eliminate coal and petroleum. For progressives, fracking is a dangerous and damaging practice that pollutes groundwater, increases greenhouse gases, and causes earthquakes. Get ready to hear both sides of this issue here on Another Point of View. Our first article today comes from the American Exploration and Production Council. It's entitled Fracking, an American Success Story. The history of hydraulic fracturing in the United States dates back to 1947 and has been used safely in more than 1.2 million wells. Hydraulic fracturing involves pumping fluid into reservoirs to artificially induce small fractures. The process increases pathways and exposure between the well bore and the surrounding reservoir rock, enhancing the productivity and hydrocarbon recovery of every well. Fracture stimulation fluid is typically comprised of over 99% water and sand. The remaining fluid consists of chemical additives that optimize placement and production from the reservoir. In conjunction with our service providers, we periodically review these chemical additives, switching to green additives, which are often food-grade materials, and using other treatment processes such as ultraviolet treatment for bacteria whenever possible. Fracking has helped America become energy secure by making America less dependent on unstable countries for oil and natural gas. In 2019, U.S. net imports, gross imports minus gross exports, of petroleum from foreign countries declined to about 3% of total U.S. consumption, and the lowest percentage since 1957, per the Energy Information Agency. Increased domestic production provides our nation with increased energy security. For years, we have relied on international sources from some of the world's most volatile areas for imports. Producing more oil and natural gas here in the U.S. helps our nation take matters into its own hands and helps lessen our reliance on these unstable regimes. Hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling are innovative technologies used around the U.S. More than 95% of U.S. natural gas and oil wells today are developed using hydraulic fracturing. According to the Bureau of Land Management, onshore federal lands produce about 8% of the nation's oil and 9% of its natural gas. Fracking supports a good-paying American jobs across America. Oil and natural gas companies provide 1 million direct upstream onshore jobs and over 2 million direct, indirect, and induced jobs across the country. Our industry's workforce is 33% minorities and 20% women. Technological advances like hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling further environmental progress. Since 2010, the U.S. shale revolution saw natural gas production nearly double, while U.S. total energy-related CO2 emissions declined significantly. Fracking supports reduced air emissions as greater equipment and engine efficiency and improved technologies mean less energy consumption, thus lower air emissions per unit of energy produced. Upstream oil and gas production provides hundreds of thousands of jobs in states across the country and billions of dollars in revenue for state and local economies. Jobs and revenue that would be at risk if hydraulic fracturing was restricted or banned. Now over to you, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. This next article is from the Natural Resource Defense Council. The Latest Fracking Science Finds More Serious Health Risk by Amy Mall, August 7th, 2023. Five bills were recently introduced in Congress to rein in harmful aspects of fracking that have been exempted from federal health and safety regulations. NRDC has been working since 2005 to close these loopholes in our bedrock environmental laws, including laws that are intended to protect people from drinking water contaminated, toxic waste, and toxic air pollutants. These five bills are collectively known as the Frack Pack and have been sponsored by members of Congress around the country. A thorough explanation of these loopholes can be found in NRDC's 2007 report on the subject, Drilling Down. There are additional gaps in federal regulations of oil and gas exploration and production. Several of these are discussed in NRDC's 2021 report, A Hot Freaking Mess, which focuses on gaps in the regulations of radioactive material released into the environment by oil and gas operations. While fracking and its dangerous impacts haven't been in the news as much in recent years, that doesn't mean that the harm to human health, the environment, and public safety have gone away. To the contrary, scientists continue to learn more about the serious risks of fracking operations, particularly for those who live nearby. This article highlights eight peer-reviewed scientific publications from just the last 2 years that identify negative health impacts associated with living in fracking regions across the country. The health impacts include leukemia in young children, low birth weight and preterm births, childhood asthma, and earlier deaths in older people. These important papers add to the thousands of other publications already listed in the Repository for Oil and Gas Energy Research and the Compendium of Scientific, Medical, and Media Findings demonstrating risks and harms of fracking and the associated gas and oil infrastructure. A 2022 paper in Environmental Health Perspectives estimates that Pennsylvania children who live near a fracking oil or gas well during their early 20s or have mothers lived there pre-conception had approximately 2 to 3 times the odds of developing childhood acute lymphoblastic leukemia compared with children who lived further from a well. A 2022 paper in the Journal of Health Economics found that shale gas wells are associated with increased preterm births and low birth weights. Drilling near an infant's public water source yields poorer birth outcomes and more fracking-related contaminants in public drinking water. New wells within 1 kilometer of public drinking water sources were associated with an 11 to 13% increase in preterm births and low birth weights in infants exposed during gestation. A 2022 study in Nature Energy found that people aged 65 and older living near or downwind of fracking operations in all major U.S. fracking regions are at higher risk of early death compared with elderly individuals who don't live near such operations. A 2023 paper in Environmental Pollution found that fracking operations from 2014 to 2021 continue to use dangerous chemicals associated with serious health effects. In these same years, 62 to 73% of all fracking chemical disclosures included at least one harmful chemical. Researchers found almost 20,000 instances where the chemicals were used in high quantities. A 2023 journal article in Environmental Research found that oil and gas air pollution in 2016 resulted in significant health impacts that year, including 410,000 asthma exacerbations, 2,200 new cases of childhood asthma, and 7,500 excessive deaths, with $77 billion in total health impacts. Areas with heavy oil and gas activity saw the most impacts, but there are also related health impacts in downwind states, such as Illinois, New York, and Georgia. A 2022 article in the American Journal of Industrial Medicine by researchers from the National Institution of Occupational Safety and Health found that oil and gas workers are at risk from motor vehicle crashes leading to work-related fatalities. More than 60% of surveyed workers work at least 12 hours a day, plus they have an average commute of almost 2 hours. A 2023 working paper from the National Bureau of Economic Research found state fracking chemical disclosure requirements are associated with significant declines in the use of hazardous fracking chemicals and better water quality. The researchers concluded that disclosure requirements lead fracking companies to change their practices and protect water quality. A 2023 report from Frack Tracker Alliance found that Colorado oil and gas fracking companies doubled their use of fresh water over the last 10 years, from 5 billion gallons in 2013 to more than 10 billion gallons in 2022. Water used per well went from an average of 2.7 million gallons to 10.9 million gallons during that period. This water is permanently removed from the hydraulic cycle, a dangerous trend in times of increasing and severe drought. The science is clear. Fracking harms human health. There's no justification for continuing to allow fracking companies to avoid the science-based protections in our fundamental environmental laws, protections that apply to other industries. It's not only an environmental disaster, but also a huge financial giveaway to companies who continue to get rich thanks to taxpayers. It's time for Congress to hold the oil and gas industry accountable for their messes and close the fracking loopholes by passing this long-needed package of bills. And now back to you, Mike.
Thank you, Amy. This next article comes from the journal American Thinker, published in September of 2014. The science is settled. Fracking is safe. The science is settled, as the climate change supporters like to say. Only this time, science confirms the safety of hydraulic fracturing. According to a new study published by the National Academy of Sciences, fracking is safe. End of discussion. Funded by the National Science Foundation and Duke University, a team of scientists at Ohio State and other universities conducted extensive research into the purported link between groundwater pollution and fracking. In an examination of 130 wells, the researchers found that when properly conducted, no groundwater or aquifer pollution resulted from the practice of fracking itself. Among the 130 wells studied, the researchers found only a subset of cases, including 7 in Pennsylvania and 1 in Texas, in which faulty well construction or cementing was to blame for the seepage of gases into groundwater. According to Professor Avner Ben-Gosh of Duke University, quote, "These results appear to rule out the migration of methane up into drinking water aquifers from depth because of horizontal drilling or hydraulic fracturing," close quote. That is to say, in the rare cases where it occurs, gases are entering the water supply from outside the borehead as a result of faulty well construction or poor cementing, both of which are manageable problems. In their research, the scientists subjected the fracking well sites to a newly developed process called geochemical forensics, using noble gases to determine whether pollution in proximity to a drilling site is naturally occurring or associated with drilling. The process was also able to determine whether the release of gases resulted from fracking itself or from seepage around well casings, an uncommon and correctable problem. As Thomas Dara, the lead scientist in the study, stated, quote, "Most of the issues we have identified can potentially be avoided by future improvements in well integrity," close quote. While the new report answers the most important question, proving beyond doubt that fracking itself does not cause gas to seep into the water supply, it does not address several other important questions. One of these is the frequency of contamination of water supplies by naturally occurring petroleum, methane, and other gases. Natural pollution of this kind would seem to be extremely common, and in fact, this natural process has been known for millennia. At sites where petroleum seeped to the surface, as in the vicinity of the 19th century Drake oil field in Pennsylvania, Native Americans had made use of the oily substance as a lubricant for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. That oil, flowing naturally to the surface, was contaminating nearby streams and groundwater. Similarly, at thousands of hot springs and other sites, methane and other gases, including ammonia and helium, are released naturally into the environment, as for example in Yellowstone National Park. The release of methane from the ocean floor is also a pervasive feature of the natural environment. In comparison with these widespread and perennial sources of methane contamination, the amount of gas released by faulty oil and gas wells is infinitesimal. It would be helpful if some future researcher provided more precise data, but the ratio of man-made to natural releases of gases is certainly minuscule. Even if the oil industry achieved a 100% safety record with the construction of casings and cementing of wells, or even if no drilling at all were to take place, vast amounts of methane and other polluting gases would seep into groundwater and aquifers as a result of natural processes. The same is true of deep water drilling. Enormous methane emissions take place all the time in the seabed. Earthquakes and volcanoes, both above ground and underwater, release huge quantities of gases into the environment on a regular basis. A study of a single quake that occurred in Pakistan in 1945 proved that the event had released 10 million cubic yards of gas over a period of 7 decades, and that the fracture resulting from the quake continues to emit methane. What humans add to natural emissions as a result of drilling is so minor as to be of little consequence. If some future study confirmed this fact, it would help to counter the myth that oil and gas drilling is polluting an otherwise pure land and sea environment. The reality is that whenever shale and other carbon-rich formations occur, natural leakage of petroleum and/or methane is inevitable. Oil and gas are naturally occurring features that are constantly interacting with the environment and entering the water supply through natural processes. As is so often the case, the idea that there once existed an environment free of all that modern intellectuals might consider unpleasant is simply a fantasy. The National Science Foundation Duke University report is crucial to the debate over the safety of hydraulic fracturing. The oil and gas industry has already achieved a near-perfect safety record, given the handful of failed wells in proportion to more than 1 million that have been fracked. The industry needs to continue working to achieve certainty that wells do not fail. It also needs to do a better job of communicating its intention to do so to a skeptical public. The oil and gas renaissance now underway is essential to the economic well-being of the United States. By confirming the safety of hydraulic fracturing, the National Science Foundation Duke University study has done a great service to all Americans whose prosperity and security depend on the maintenance of a strong economy. And so, the science is settled. Now let's put America back to work, expand the scope of oil and gas production, and reap the benefits of national security and well-being. And back over to you, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. This next article is from Yale Daily News, March 30th, 2022, by Anna Lynn Schweitzer. Integrated efforts needed to mitigate fracking while protecting both humans and the environment. Efforts to mitigate the potentially harmful effects of fracking have traditionally been divided along two fronts. Those that primarily focus on protecting the environment and wildlife, and those that focus on protecting humans and domestic animals. But it doesn't have to be that way. In a March 30 commentary in BioScience, a trio of public health experts, ecologists, and environmental scientists urge adoption of a more holistic approach when evaluating the impact of unconventional gas and oil production operations such as fracking. They also lay out a framework for future transdisciplinary collaboration and integrated decision-making, which they say will lead to more just and comprehensive solutions that protect people, animals, and the environment. Researchers and policymakers tend to focus only on one domain, when they really are interconnected, said Nicole Dizel, PhD, MHS, the paper's lead author and associated professor of epidemiology, environmental health sciences, environment and chemical and environmental engineering at Yale University. This paper provides strategies to promote approaching oil and gas extraction industries and their impacts in a more holistic, interdisciplinary way. Joining Dizel on the paper are Liba Pechar, PhD, a professor in the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Conservation Biology at Colorado State University and the study's senior author, and Bahavana Shamasunder, PhD, associate professor, chair of the Department of Urban and Environmental Policy, and co-chair of the Department of Public Health at Occidental College. The interdisciplinary collaboration on the paper, entitled Synergies and Trade-offs in Reducing Impacts of Unconventional Oil and Gas Development on Wildlife and Human Health, came about during a workshop on the community impacts of oil and gas development that Dizel attended several years ago. She was fascinated by Pichar's and Shamasunder's presentations and discussed the crossovers in their perspectives during a long bus ride to a fracking well pad. The impromptu interaction, Dizel said, highlights the value of conferences that include representatives of different disciplinaries, one of the paper's recommendations. Hydraulic fracturing, more commonly known as fracking, is a method for extracting gas and oil from shale rock. The process involves injecting water, sand, and chemicals into bedrock at high pressures, which allows gas and oil to flow into a well and then be collected for market. Used extensively in the U.S., fracking has led to heightened concerns about its impact on the environment and human health. The process creates vast amounts of wastewater, emits greenhouse gases such as methane, releases toxic air pollutants, and generates noise. Studies have shown that gas and oil operations can lead to loss of animal and plant habitats, species decline, migratory disruptions, and land degradation. They have also been associated with human health risks. Studies have reported associations between residential proximity to these operations and increase adverse pregnancy outcomes, cancer incidences, hospitalizations, and asthma. Some fracking-related operations have been located near lower-resourced communities, worsening their cumulative burden of environmental and social injustices. In their paper, the authors describe how past protection measures, however well-intended, have sometimes favored one interest, the environment and wildlife, for instance, at the expense of another, human and domestic animals, and vice versa. Dizel used setbacks and buffers as an example. Setbacks aim to protect human health by prohibiting gas and oil drilling within a certain distance of homes, schools, and other community domains. However, this approach may encroach on animal habitats, shifting the threat from humans to animals and the natural world. Buffers are similarly implemented, but with the goal of protecting wildlife and sensitive environmental areas. In contrast, limiting drilling altogether would be protective of both people and animals. The solutions are not being addressed in an integrative way, said Diesel, whose primary appointment is with Yale School of Public Health. It's important to protect vulnerable human populations as we're making solutions, and we should also be mindful of the impacts to the ecosystem and the ecological world for their own intrinsic value. The author recommends scientists and practitioners take a more integrated approach that spans both public health and conservation interests and focus more on regions and populations that are underrepresented, historically marginalized, or poorly understood. They cite One Health Initiative as an example of how a wide range of collaborations can work. One Health is a collaborative, multi-sector, and transdisciplinary concept that has been primarily applied to address infectious disease and optimize human health outcomes while recognizing the interconnection among people, animal, plants, and their shared environment. Diesel said she hopes the paper and its recommendations will inspire future collaborations across the fields of ecology, social science, and public health, and encourage more inclusive decision-making that includes input from people and organizations directly affected. And now back to you, Mike.
Thanks, Amy. This next article comes from the Heritage Foundation, published in February of 2020. A ban on hydraulic fracturing? No fracking way. If a policymaker proposed banning cars and trucks or reducing the speed limit to 5 miles per hour to reduce traffic fatalities, he or she would be laughed off the stage. Such a policy ignores the benefits of driving and disregards how people accept risk and trade-offs in their lives. So why should we treat efforts to ban fracking any different? Hydraulic fracturing, better known as fracking, is safe. Studies from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. Geological Survey, and many academic institutions have all concluded that fracking poses no threat to groundwater supplies. The move in energy markets from coal to natural gas has improved air quality and reduced carbon dioxide emissions. And yet some states and counties have advocated for fracking bans, and more recently, several presidential candidates have called for the same. While a president doesn't have the sole authority to simply wave a wand and ban fracking, a Keep It in the Ground administration could bury industries in enough red tape to achieve a similar purpose. But that would be bad news for the economy, the environment, and for national security. Thanks to advances in smart extraction technology, the United States is now the world's largest oil and natural gas producer. Stripping the U.S. of that distinction without any sound scientific reason for doing so would not only devastate the country's thriving energy sector, but all of the jobs and industries that support it. America's energy renaissance has meant more work for geologists, engineers, truck drivers, and pipe welders. It means more work for waiters, hotel staff, mechanics, and barbers. An economic revitalization has taken place in struggling parts of the country where businesses specifically cite cheap, plentiful natural gas as the reason for locating there. A fracking ban would wipe those economic gains away. And let's not forget the hundreds of millions of Americans who rely on affordable, reliable power. As families pump more heat into their homes in the winter, the U.S. Energy Information Administration reported that February natural gas prices are the lowest they've been in 20 years. In effect, the shale gas boom is acting like a tax cut, putting more money back in families' wallets. The Council of Economic Advisers recently found that the shale boom saves U.S. consumers nearly $203 billion annually, about $2,500 for a family of four. Alternatively, prohibiting domestic development would serve as a massive tax hike, and it would not just harm families at the pump and at the meter, but for all the goods and services they buy. America's poorest families would be hit hardest because they spend a higher percentage of their budget on energy bills. Even the international community has weighed in on what a terrible idea a fracking ban would be. Last year, International Energy Agency Executive Director Fatih Birol told CNBC, quote, "This would have major implications on the market for the U.S. economy, for jobs growth, and everything, and not good news for energy security, because, for example, U.S. natural gas provides a lot of security to the markets," close quote. Increased supplies and inventories has created a welcome cushion to withstand the adverse economic impacts of geopolitical events that would typically send prices skyrocketing. Moreover, we've also helped our international friends by providing more energy choice. Fracking has allowed the U.S. to become the world's third largest liquefied natural gas exporter. By 2025, perhaps sooner, the U.S. will likely be the world's largest exporter. Domestic energy producers are helping our European allies by loosening Russia's grip of the natural gas market, which reduces their ability to manipulate energy supplies for political purposes. Through energy exports, the U.S. will continue to bolster economic and national security relationships worldwide. A fracking ban would also have adverse effects on the environment. Policies that needlessly restrict energy supplies in the U.S. won't stop consumers from using oil or natural gas, whether in the U.S. or elsewhere. Instead, production will merely shift to places where the environmental standards aren't as rigorous. Any decision to significantly curtail America's energy output will be a gift to Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the rest of OPEC. The role of the public policy should be to adequately protect public health and safety. Courts should certainly hold companies liable for any environmental damage they cause, but calls for a fracking ban instead hostilely target one industry and set regulations that are devoid of any meaningful environmental benefit, mischaracterize risk, and misinform the public. Back to you, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. This next article is from Forbes magazine by Judy Stone, February 23rd, 2017. Fracking is dangerous to your health. Here's why. Fracking, or drilling for gas by hydraulic fracturing, has been associated with growing number of health risks. Last week, I began this series looking at some of the hazardous chemicals injected into the wells to make drilling easier and cheaper, and the growing risk to our health by the GOP rushing through the approval of Scott Pruitt to head the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. These are not hypothetical concerns. There are now more than 700 studies looking at risks, and more than 80% of the health studies document risks or actual harms. It's also important to note that these risks are likely to be seriously underestimated because the environmental agencies have been downplaying the risks to the public. A new in-depth exposé from investigative journalist at Public Herald looks in depth at the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, DEP's misconduct and negligence, as the DEP studiously ignores citizens' complaints, sometimes not even testing water samples. Earlier studies from ProPublica and others showed similar EPA failures in the western U.S. A variety of health problems are associated with fracking, respiratory problems, cough, shortness of breath, and wheezing are the most common complaints of residents living near fracking wells. Toxic gases, like benzenes, are released from the rock by fracking. Similarly, a toxic waste brew of water and chemicals is often stored in open pits, releasing volatile organic compounds into the air. These noxious chemicals and particles are also released by the diesel-powered pumps used to inject the water. An epidemiological study of more than 400,000 patients of Pennsylvania's Giesinger Clinic, done with Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, found a significant association between fracking and increasing in mild, moderate, and severe cases of asthma. Hopkins' Dr. Brian Schwartz cautions that residents should be aware of this hazard as some pristine rural areas are converted to heavily trafficked industrial areas. Problems during pregnancy. Fracking chemicals are harmful to pregnant women and their developing babies. West Virginia's researchers found endocrine disruption chemicals in surface waters near wastewater disposal sites. These type of chemicals can hurt the developing fetus, even when present at very low concentrations. Another Hopkinton's Geisinger study looked at records of almost 11,000 women with newborns who lived near fracking sites and found a 40% increased chance of having a premature baby and a 30% risk of having the pregnancy be classified as high risk, though they controlled for socioeconomic status and other risk factors. Contributing factors likely included air and water pollution, stress from the noise and traffic, 1,000 tankers, well, on average. Premature babies accounted for 35% of infant deaths in 2010. In addition to the personal toll on the families, preemies are very expensive for society. Prematurity is a major cause of neurological disabilities in kids, and their cost of care was more than $26 billion in 2005 alone, or $51,600 per preemie. Cost to employers during the infant's first year of life averaged $46,004, more than tenfold high than for a full-term delivery. Note that if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, women may once again be denied health insurance for pregnancies, and a premature baby will likely never be granted health insurance, according to the March of Dimes medical expansion of health insurance to low-income citizens. Helped the percentage of babies born as preemies drop to a low level of 11.4% in 2013. Noise, stress, and sleep deprivation. Other studies have found that the noise from the drilling itself, the gas compressors, other heavy equipment, and the truck traffic is high enough to disturb sleep, cause stress, and increase high blood pressure. Longer-term exposure to noise pollution contributes to endocrine abnormalities and diabetes, heart disease, stress and depression, and has been linked to learning difficulties in children. Sleep deprivation has pervasive public health consequences, from causing accidents to chronic diseases. Another epidemiological study from the University of Pennsylvania and Columbia University compared the hospitalization rates between a county with active fracking and a neighborhood county without. This study found that fracking well density was significantly associated with higher inpatient hospitalization for cardiac or neurological problems. There was also an association between skin conditions, cancer, and urological problems, and a proximity of homes to active wells. Spills and accidents. With disturbing frequencies, new spills or accidents are reported at the same time as the industry tries to reassure that fracking brings safe and clean energy. Tell that to the residents of Dimcock, Pennsylvania, who have had their drinking water destroyed, or those in many other communities. A newly released study found that 6,648 spills in just four states over the past 10 years. Once again, the EPA had reported a far lower number, 457 in eight states over a six-year period. Why the huge difference? Because the EPA chooses to only look at the actual fracturing stage rather than the whole life cycle of the gas and oil production. The DSmog blog notes that just this month, the day after U.S. Army Corps of Engineers gave the owners of the Dakota Access Pipeline, DAPL, the final permit it needed to build across the Lake Ojai, threatening the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's land and water, a pipeline of the DAPL co-owner exploded near New Orleans, killing one and injuring others. Aging pipelines pose special risks as they deteriorate. An ExxonMobil pipeline, built in 1947, spilled 134,000 gallons of gas in Arkansas. Conclusion: the oil and gas industry says that these health problems are not proven to be caused by fracking. That is partially true, especially since agencies like the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection have actively hidden complaints or even failed to test the water of residents, as Public Herald reported. With the new head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, determined to dismantle the agency and its protections, we will likely never have definitive proof. Some health problems, such as cancer and some neurological problems, also takes years to develop after exposure. Fracking profits go to private industry, but the public, families, and communities bear the costs of the many health complications from drilling. And now back to you, Mike.
Thank you, Amy. This next article comes from an online journal called Nature.com. It was published in September of 2011. Should fracking stop? No, it's too valuable. After a career in geological research on one of the world's largest gas supplies, I am a born-again cornucopian. I believe that there is enough domestic gas to meet our needs for the foreseeable future, thanks to technological advances in hydraulic fracturing. According to IHS, a business information company in Douglas County, Colorado, the estimated recoverable gas from U.S. shale source rock using fracking is about 42 trillion cubic meters, almost equal to the total conventional gas discovered in the United States over the past 150 years, and equivalent to about 65 times the current U.S. annual consumption. During the past 3 years, about 50 billion barrels of additional recoverable oil has been found in shale oil deposits, more than 20% of the total conventional recoverable U.S. oil resources. These tight oil resources, which also require fracking to access, could generate 3 million barrels a day by 2020, offsetting one-third of current oil imports. International data aren't as well known, but the effect of fracking on global energy production will be huge. Global warming is a serious issue that fracking-related gas production can help to alleviate. In a world in which productivity is closely linked to energy expenditure, fracking will be a vital to global economic stability until renewable or nuclear energy carry more of the world workload. But these technologies face persistent problems of intermittency and lack of power density or waste disposal. Mankind's inexorable march towards 9 billion people will require a broad portfolio of energy resources, which can be gained only with breakthroughs such as fracking. Such breakthroughs should be promoted by policy that benefits the economy yet reduces overall greenhouse gas emissions. Replacing coal with natural gas in power plants, for example, reduces the plant's greenhouse gas emissions by up to 50%. At present, fracking accounts for 50% of locally produced natural gas and 33% of local petroleum. The gas industry in America accounts for $385 billion in direct economic activity and nearly 3 million jobs. Because gas wells have notoriously steep production declines, stable supplies depend on a steady rate of new well completions. A moratorium on new wells would have an immediate and harsh effect on the U.S. economy that would trigger a global ripple. Global warming aside, there is no compelling environmental reason to ban hydraulic fracturing. There are environmental risks, but these can be managed through existing and rapidly improving technologies and regulations. It might be nice to have moratoria after each breakthrough to study the consequences, but because energy expenditure and economic health are so closely linked, global moratoria are not practical. The gains in employment, economics, and national security, combined with the potential to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions if natural gas is managed properly, make a compelling case. With hydraulic fracturing, as in many cases, fear levels exceed the evidence. I grew up with the sights, sounds, and smells of the Bradford oil fields in New York State. My parents' small farm was over a small oil pool with fumes from unplugged wells in the air and small oil seeps coating still waters. Before college, I worked these oil fields as a roustabout, mainly cleaning pipes and casings. Like me, most people living in such areas are not opposed to drilling, it seems. In my experience, such as during the recent hearings for the Pennsylvania Governor's Marcellus Shale Advisory Commission, activists from non-drilling regions outnumber those from drilling regions by approximately 2-1. Modern massive hydraulic fracturing is very different from that used decades ago. Larger pads are required to accommodate larger drill rigs, pumps, and water supplies. People usually infer from this that modern techniques have a greater impact on the environment. This isn't necessarily true. Although more water is used per well, there are far fewer wells per unit area. In the Bradford oil fields in the 1950s, a 640-acre parcel of land might have held more than 100 wells, requiring some 18 kilometers of roads and with a lattice of surface pipelines. During the Marcellus development today, that same parcel of land is served by a single pad of 5 acres with a 0.8-kilometer right-of-way for roads and pipelines. Although fracking has emerged as a scare term in the press, hydraulic fracturing is not so strange or frightening. The process happens naturally. High-pressure magma, water, petroleum, and gases deep inside Earth can crack rock, helping to drive plate tectonics, rock metamorphism, and recycling of carbon dioxide between the mantle and the atmosphere. More than 96% of all oil and gas has been released from its original source rocks. Industrial hydraulic fracturing aims to mimic nature to access the rest. As in nature, industrial fracking can be done with a wide variety of gases and liquids. Nitrogen can be used to open cracks in the shale, for example, but this is inefficient because of the energy lost by natural decompression of the nitrogen gas. Water is more efficient because very little energy is wasted in decompression. Sand is added to prop open the cracks, and compounds such as surface tension reducers are added to improve gas recovery. Two main environmental concerns are water use and water contamination. Millions of gallons of water are required to stimulate a well. In Pennsylvania, high rainfall means that water is abundant, and regulations ensure that operators stockpile rainwater during the wet season to use during drier months. Obtaining adequate water for industrial fracking in dry regions such as the Middle East and Western China is a local concern, but is no reason for a global moratorium. Press reports often repeat strident concerns about the chemicals added to fracturing fluids, but many of these compounds are relatively benign. One commonly used additive is similar to simethicone, which is also used in antacids to reduce surface tension and turn small bubbles in the stomach into larger ones that can move along more easily. Many of the industrial additives are common in household products. Material safety data sheets for these additives are required by the U.S. regulation. Industry discloses additives on a website called fracfocus.org run by state regulators. Some people have expressed worries that fracking fluids might migrate more than 2 kilometers upwards from the cracked shale into groundwater. The Groundwater Protection Council, a nonprofit national association of state groundwater and underground injection control agencies headquartered in Oklahoma City, has found no instance in which injected fluid contaminated groundwater from below. This makes sense. Water cannot flow this distance uphill in timescales that matter. This is the premise by which deep disposal wells used to hold toxic waste worldwide are considered safe. During gas production, the pressure of methane is reduced. This promotes downward, not upward, flow of these fluids. Gas shale contains a number of materials that are carried back up the pipe to the surface in flow back water, including salts of barium and radioactive isotopes that may be harmful in concentrated form. According to a recent New York Times analysis, these elements can be above the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's sanctioned background concentrations in some flowback tanks. Industry is moving towards complete recycling of these fluids, so this should be of less concern to the public. However, production water will continue to flow to the surface in modest volumes throughout the life of a well. This water needs to be, and currently is, treated to ensure safe disposal. The real risk of water contamination comes from these flowback fluids leaking into streams or seeping down into groundwater after reaching the surface. This can be caused by leaky wellheads, holding tanks, or blowouts. Wellheads are made sufficiently safe to prevent this eventuality. Holding tanks can be made secure, and blowouts, while problematic, are like all accidents caused by human error, an unpredictable risk with which society lives. Although methane coming up to the surface within the steel well pipe cannot escape into the surrounding rock or groundwater, it is possible that the cement seal between the well and the bedrock might allow methane from shallow sandstone layers to seep up into groundwater. Methane is a tasteless and odorless component of groundwater that can be consumed without ill effect when dissolved. It is not a poison. Long before gas shale drilling, regulators warned that enclosed spaces such as houses should be properly vented in areas with naturally occurring methane in groundwater. An alarm has been sounded, too, about the effect of escaped methane on global warming. The good news is that methane has a very short half-life in the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide emitted during the building of the first Sumerian cities is still affecting our climate, whereas escaped methane from the fracturing of the Barnett Shale in 1997 is more than half gone. Industry can and should take steps to reduce air emissions by capturing or flaring methane and converting motors and compressors from diesel to natural gas. Risk perception is ultimately subjective. Facts are all too easily combined with emotional responses. With hydraulic fracturing, as in many cases, fear levels exceed the evidence. Back to you, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. This next article is from USA Today by Caitlin McLean, October 18th, 2022. What is fracking and is it harmful? Impacts of hydraulic fracking, natural gas explained. Oil and gas is required for many of life's everyday functions. Cars, trains, and planes all rely on fuel in order to move people around, leaving many dependent on them. Many of us also rely on gas and fuel to keep our homes warm during the winter. Although there are renewable energy sources like solar panels and windmills, as well as transportation alternatives like electric vehicles, the economy is still hooked on oil. There are, however, many concerns about the negative environmental impacts of the oil industry and its contribution to climate change. To better understand the impact of oil and the gas on the environment and even the health of individuals, it's important to know where gas and oil come from and what fracking is. Fracking is a method used to extract natural gas and oil from deep within the Earth's surface, according to National Geographic. During the process of fracking, chemicals, water, and sand are injected at a high pressure to open and widen cracks below the surface of the earth. There are many areas in the United States where fracking takes place, including in the Marcellus Shale Formation in the northern Appalachian Basin. This includes areas in New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia, according to National Geographic. Hydraulic fracturing is what is commonly referred to as fracking. The Barnett Shale Formation in northern Texas was one of the first places to use hydraulic fracturing technology, according to National Geographic. There are many negative effects associated with fracking, both health-wise and environmentally. According to the Natural Resource Defense Council, because of the toxic air pollution resulting from fracking, health effects include childhood leukemia, cardiac problems, asthma symptoms, birth defects, and headaches. Some of the over 1,000 harmful chemicals used in fracking have even been linked to cancer. There are no federal requirements for drillers to disclose what chemicals they use, meaning that people often do not know what is being pumped into their communities. State laws are also poorly enforced, and there is limited testing data on air and water quality, according to the NRDC. Because of the many unknowns, nurses and doctors often have difficulty determining what chemicals a patient has been exposed to, the Natural Resource Defense Council says. Fracking has also been linked to a loss of plant and animal species due to greenhouse gas, toxic air pollutants, wastewater, and noise, according to Yale University. Fracking is also sometimes linked to problems in communities with fewer resources, worsening their burden. The Independent Petroleum Association of America on its website contends fracking has improved public health by dramatically improving air quality in recent years. This is not to say there are no risks, but the full body of research on this issue shows that those risks are manageable.
That concludes our program for today. We hope you have enjoyed listening to Another Point of View, a program that gives a voice to both sides of the debate on important contemporary issues. This program is a production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the article authors and publishers and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Audio Journal, its staff, or the volunteer readers. Archived editions of this or any previous program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or by using the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device.
Next week on Another Point of View, we'll discuss the controversy of GMOs, or genetically modified foods. Proponents see genetic engineering of food crops as a breakthrough technology to create foods that are resistant to pests and common diseases. This technology can also increase food's nutritional content in some cases. Opponents worry that interfering with Mother Nature may result in serious harm to the global ecosystem, upsetting the delicate balance of nature. And they point out we don't really understand the long-term effects on humans from the consumption of GMO foods. Be sure to tune in next week to hear both sides of this controversial issue here on Another Point of View.
Programming on Audio Journal is supported by the Worcester Memorial Foundation for the Blind, the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, and from the generous contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. Our regular program schedule can be found on our website, audiojournal.org, or by requesting a copy in large print or braille by calling the Audio Journal offices at 508-797-1117. Please remember, we need your feedback. What topics should we be addressing? How can we improve the program to better serve you, the listener? Call or email us with any suggestions or general feedback. We want to hear from you. This is Michael Hauck. On behalf of myself and my reading partner, Amy Edelman, thank you for listening. Please stay tuned to Audio Journal. More great programming is coming your way.